today on Real Radio.
Paul here says, "For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we being many are one body in Christ and individual members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us," what does it say? "Use them."
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament book of Ephesians. We're exploring chapter 4, where Paul, the letter's author, emphasizes unity among believers and spiritual gifts. This is actually a series taken from Ephesians 4 in verses 7 through 16, as well as other passages. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs continuing in his series called United in the Gifts.
And we're not talking this evening about faith that believers have in the Lord Jesus for salvation. We're not talking about faith that a believer has in the Lord as being the governor and actual Lord of their life. This is different. The very context structure of 1 Corinthians 12 tells us that there is a gift of faith. It's a special gift. And it is a gift of faith. Though we all have faith, if we're trusting in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, this is a special faith. It's one of the gifts listed in the giving of the Holy Spirit and the gift giving of the Holy Spirit. With your finger right here, why don't you turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans 12. A little bit to the left and down there at verse 4. Romans 12, 4. Paul here says, "For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we being many are one body in Christ and individual members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us," what does it say? "Use them." Let us use them. That is the gifts that the Lord has given us. But tonight we're going to be looking at the gift of faith and what does it mean. And of course, we started this series 9 studies ago in what is called United in the Gifts. And we're coming out of our study in the book of Ephesians in chapter 4, verses 7 to 16. But tonight we come to the 9th part of our study regarding the gifts of the Spirit. Have you noticed that when it's time to purchase a gift for someone, I don't know how you are, but you know, I guess us guys are not all that good about it, but, you know, we're supposed to be. When we go into a store to buy a gift for somebody, we're supposed to give it a lot of thought, you know, and you think about it, and you want to get something for the person, if you're going to get them a gift, something that's special. And when I mean special, I jotted down this afternoon a few things that I would look for if I'm going to get a gift for someone. And one is that they'll enjoy it. Have you noticed when somebody's unwrapping the gift, you kind of crowd a little closer to see their reaction? You even have the camera going to maybe not even capture the gift, but their reaction. And then, no doubt, after a while, you'll go up as the party calms down or the celebrations subside. You'll go up and you'll say to them, "Did you like it?" You want to give somebody a gift that they enjoy. It's just our nature, and it's part of gift giving. So that's important to me as a gift giver, and it is important to me as a gift receiver. Also, in giving a gift, we want to know, will they be able to use it? We want to get them a gift that they'll use, that it's a usable gift. It's important. You don't want to see it hanging on the wall and never used. You want them to use that thing. And hopefully it's something that they enjoy, something that they can use, and maybe you can borrow. I don't know. But the third thing that I was thinking about is that, will it last? Is the gift that you're giving them something that will last? And a house warming party is perfect for this. You can get them napkins and paper napkins and say, well, it's summertime, you can use these outside. That's a little cover up for your chintziness. But it's paper napkins, and here's some paper plates for your outdoor activities. Or you can get them some nice cloth, more elegant towels for the house, and you can get them china instead of, you know, paper. And the gift, if it's going to endure, if it's going to be used, if it's going to be enjoyed, it's going to be of a quality, if you've noticed. It's important. We don't like to have things that are not quality stuff. Well, I don't know. Sometimes we'll skimp and we'll buy something that's just, you know, it's not the good thing, but it doesn't last. And the thing is, you wind up buying three of them in the whole year, and you could have bought the good one and saved money. And God doesn't do that with gifts. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are given because, listen, He wants us to enjoy them. He wants us to use them. And by the way, they will last. The Bible tells us, the Bible teaches that God gives the gifts of the Spirit and they will be usable, contrary to some denominational persuasions, incorrectly, that some of them have done away and some of them are current and some will yet still end. No, the Bible says God gave the gifts. They're given without irrevocability. They're going to be used until the day the perfect one comes, Christ comes, and we will not any longer need our gifts when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 3, the Bible says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing," and that is now. The Scripture indicates to us now. You and I have every bit of resource that's available for us now to live a successful Christian life. Now. And when I'm walking around in my Christian experience defeated and losing the battle, it's not because God has somehow become impotent in the war. It's because I have failed to plug into Him. Just driving down here tonight, I had John Corson plugged in on the cassette. I listen to him all the time. I get his tapes every week. And I was listening to this tape, and he said, "Do you know if you spent 12 and a half minutes a day reading your Bible, that you will go through your Bible from cover to cover in 1 year, 365 days. 12 and a half minutes reading out loud at a slow pace, 12 and a half minutes a day, you'll go through your Bible. It equates to 71 hours. And one of the things that you'll find happening in your life is what Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. Isn't that amazing? You want more faith? Who does not want more faith? Man, we all do. Bible. More, more, more Bible. It literally brainwashes you clean. It scrubs out all that junk of the world and renews us in our thinking. And so that's great. But the Holy Spirit, by order of Jesus Christ, has provided for us all that we need to succeed as a believer. The believer who's at work within the body of Christ, serving. God has given every bit of opportunity and power to us who might serve. And you know, I've said this over and over again in this series, and you probably already know what I'm going to say. You probably already anticipated this. But you think I'm kidding. I know you do. When we read our Bibles, we need to adopt the evangelistic methods of Dwight L. Moody and the discipleship methods of Dwight L. Moody, who had the greatest retention rate of all evangelists in the history of the world. Dwight L. Moody did what no churches dare to do. Dwight L. Moody preached the gospel. A young man or a young woman came forward. They gave them a Bible, prayed with them, told them, "We expect you back here tomorrow night at the next evangelistic outreach at 6 o'clock in the evening. And here's your usher badge, and we'll meet you at the north door." Guess what? That new believer was there because they had just entered into a body of active and lively believers. And some of those more seasoned ushers would take that young man or that young woman under their wings and began to march them through and show them what to do. And all of a sudden, those new believers felt a sense of ownership within that body. Hey, they need me here. I'll be back tomorrow night. You know what? People are dependent on me, and I'm going to be here. And that's one of the most wonderful things you can do. You want to have retention when it comes to a new believer? Get them involved in some sort of ministry. We've got some kind of a cockamamie idea that you got to put them through a bunch of hoops and aerobatics and aerobic courses before they can ever, you know, hand out a bulletin. Have we passed a leadership approval training course? You know, whenever you have a ministry that has some kind of a application type of, do you meet the criteria qualities of, I guarantee you the leadership can't even meet those qualities that are probably on that sign-up sheet. It's the Holy Spirit who empowers. Look at the ministry of Paul the Apostle and what he did. He incorporated people and got them used in the body of Christ. Why? Because the moment you are saved, the Bible tells us and teaches us that God will impart to us not only a knowledge of the Lord Jesus, but also at least a gift of the Holy Spirit will be supernaturally imparted. And God will begin to use that person from the very, very outset. I believe in that strongly. And I know a lot of people don't. They think that there should be some kind of a program. And yet I look around here at the people who have jumped right into ministry from the first day, and they're just chugging right along and growing faster than the most rest of us here, because they're just absolutely excited about what God's doing in their lives. And I think that's neat. It's God's will that this church, listen, I wrote this down today, it's right here in my notes, that's how I know to say this. It's God's will that this church be the most dynamic gathering of people available for His call. Do you know what? Do you think that's true? You know, I just feel so ornery tonight that I want to say, if you don't think that's true, just go away. You know, just go. But it's so true. Do you believe that? That it's God's will. He wants, I mean, think for a moment. He wants this church to be the most dynamic group of believers for the call that He's placed on this body. And the fun thing about God is you can go down the street a half a mile and bump into another church, and God wants that church to be the most dynamic ministry for the calling He's placed on that church. Have you noticed that? Now, within that body of believers, there are different people, just like all of us are different. And in this body, God wants you, and God wants you, and God wants you to be someone who's absolutely dynamic at the calling He's placed upon your life. And I began to think about that today, and I had to get out of my chair. That is great stuff. It's true. Think about it. Think about the alternative. God wants us to be the most carnally backslidden, sleepy, apathetic church you've ever seen. No, you can drive down the street and find a church like that in almost any direction. Every ministry has a personality that is called of God to perform and to meet. No church will be the church. There will be local assemblies of believers to meet the need that Christ has created for that body and for the people in that community in need. And you and I have the ability to go forward in that boldness. And that excites me to no end. I'm excited about that very thing. Because the gift of the Holy Spirit is to be given to us that others might be built up and strengthened and encouraged. And I think that's an absolute win-win situation. I don't know about you, but that excites me. Jesus said in John chapter 14 and verse 16, you can jot it down. Jesus says, I will pray to the Father and He will give you another helper. That means Jesus was the helper, but He's going to pray to the Father and another helper will come, that He may abide with you forever. And then verse 18, He says, I will not leave you orphaned, I will come to you. It doesn't take an Einstein to figure out that Jesus is talking about coming to us by the person of the Holy Spirit. Because later on He'll say that regarding the Holy Spirit, He says, I must go away because I can't be really everywhere in one place, but the Holy Spirit can. And Jesus could not indwell us. Isn't that amazing? Jesus could not indwell us. The Holy Spirit had to come to indwell us. But Jesus said, I'll be in you by the person of the Holy Spirit. To do what? To carry on the work that if Jesus... This is convicting. Are you ready? That if Jesus was here today, living like he did 2,000 years ago on earth, he would be doing the works that he did then, and he's not here, but the Holy Spirit is, and those works are to be going on through us today. It's us. We are the ones. And think of the alternative again. That Jesus started a really neat dynamic church and then he just kind of let it go to crash and burn? Or is he perfecting it along the way? I don't know about you, but I don't want any longer to be caught up, bound up, or chained down to some carnal, lukewarm kind of Christian experience. We can't tolerate it. We can't have it. The time is too short. The Lord is coming back. But I love that in John chapter 14 because Jesus prayed. You think God the Father answers Jesus' prayers? He says, I'm going to pray to the Father. What do you think the Father said? No. I'm going to pray to the Father, and he's going to give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Well, he's with us, and he wants to do something about it. Imagine the Holy Spirit when Jesus prays that prayer. In fact, check this out. This is kind of fun to think. Jesus says to them, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit when I get up there. Then he ascends from the Mount of Ascension. He goes up there. And then Pentecost, 50 days. Penta means 50. 50 days. 50 days. The Holy Spirit comes on the day of Pentecost. And that right there is one of the proof texts that Jesus, first of all, arrived in heaven, and of course that he's the Son of God. Father, by the way, remember that prayer I uttered down there in front of Peter, James, and John, and all those guys? Can you send now the Holy Spirit to them? Yeah, sure, son. And on the day of Pentecost came the Holy Spirit to empower the body for ministry. To empower us. The giving of the gifts of the Holy Spirit are for our enjoyment. And when I say enjoyment, I mean being used by God is one of the most enjoyable things in the world. It's for our use, to the strengthening of the believers, and it is lasting. The purpose of the gifts, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 12 says, Paul says, even so you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. And that word, by the way, edification, is to build up. And it's used 8 times in the book of Corinthians alone for the building up of the church, of the gifts given. And so I want to ask you this question tonight before we get into this. I hope that it's important to you tonight that we are committed to building each other up. I have launched a personal campaign tonight that I'm going to start walking around when I meet you and see you. I'm going to ask how you're doing, and I want to find out, hey, what's God doing in your life? I'm going to ask you to start asking people in this church, what's God doing in your life? Isn't that exciting? Don't you hate when people ask that when God's not doing anything in your life? What's God doing in your life? You can always tell when a Christian's lying. What's God doing in your life? A lot of things, man. Great. I mean, all kinds of stuff. Like what? What's God doing in your life? You know what? He's showing me this. We ought to start doing that with each other. Man, that is like, oh. But do you know how better off we'd be if we started doing that? All of a sudden, in this body, there's a lot of accountability just asking the question. It's wonderful. You don't have to even know the person's name. Hey, I've seen you here 2 weeks in a row. What's God doing in your life? That's exciting. He wants to do so much in our lives. It's the purpose of the Holy Spirit to give us gifts that we might grow. And if we're under the guidance and the leadership of the Holy Spirit, you might want to jot down these 4 things. You and I will be living a life that is encouraging to others. if you are under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. In other words, is your life Spirit-filled? It's to be, you know. Well, how will we know? Because number one, our lives will be encouraging to others. Are you an encouragement to others? This is kind of a private thing now. You write this down, and we'll pull this out privately in our prayer times and stuff and kind of examine where we're at privately. The next thing, if we're being guided and led and filled by the Holy Spirit, is that my life, your life, will be profitable to those around us. People will say, you know what, I really appreciate your walk. I need your faithfulness. It encourages me. Or, you know, I see you going to that prayer meeting. I encourage. It's a profit. Your Christian life is a profit to others. Are you encouraging to others? Is your walk profitable to others? Third thing is, will you be a benefit to know? If Christians get to know you, will it better their walk? Aren't these convicting? If another brother or sister gets to know your walk, will they benefit from being your friend or being your prayer partner or whatever the situation may call? Fourth one and final one is, are you an asset to the church at large? In other words, are you dependent upon in the body of Christ? If you don't show up next week or for the next 3 months, will anybody notice?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called United in the Gifts. It's actually a mini-series that takes a look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 7 through 16. We'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio, so be sure and join us. Now, we've mentioned a few times recently a valuable resource for your loved one who is a professing believer but has, well, fallen out of fellowship. And who better to tell you more about this resource than our teacher himself, Pastor Jack?
Mike, you know this is dear to my heart, and you know that I love to see people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. There's almost nothing more exciting than that. When I say almost, this is something that really drives my heart as a pastor. And that's those who know Jesus, but they've walked away from him. They're the ones that Jesus spoke about in Luke's gospel, the prodigal son. Maybe you're the prodigal daughter today, and you're far from God. And you're hearing this program right now, and it's got your attention. You're living a life that you know is not pleasing to God. I want you to know something. The Lord is saying to you, Christian, come home. He's inviting you to come back to have your sins forgiven and your fellowship reestablished with the Lord. That can happen now, my friend. Or maybe you know somebody who's in that condition today that they need to come back to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, listen, for a gift of $20 or more to support Real Radio, there's a 4-DVD set entitled Christian Come Home, taken out of Luke's Gospel, Life of the Prodigal Son. Christian, if you're not walking with God, come on back. Christian, come home now.
Okay, so once again, to get Pastor Jack's DVD set, Christian, Come Home, call, click, or write. Again, for your gift of $20 or more, visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, or call us toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or the traditional way, for the cost of a stamp, you can just write us at Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Once again, that's for your gift of $20 or more. If you missed any of this contact information, simply visit us at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.